FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's May 31st, 2017. Well, Trump impeachment, Trump trolling with tweets, Trump. Everything is Trump to the point where the mainstream media is now profitable because they become the anti-Trump choir and echo chamber. So they're attracting millions of new subscribers with a negative message. And you would think they would do everything they could to safeguard Trump's administration to make sure that he's going to serve at least 8 years and maybe change the Constitution so he can serve a third term so their profits can keep going up, because that's all they care about. That's all this is about. Well, somebody who's more of an expert in it than myself, his name's Tarl Warwick. You find him on YouTube, Styx, S-T-Y-X, Hex, H-E-X-N, Ian Hammer 666, and welcome back, Tarl.
Well, I'm glad that you had me.
Hey, so I mean, you know, I really watch your commentary, and I think you've kind of become a YouTube folk hero with your ability to articulate what are very, not necessarily complex concepts, but they're very muddied by the mainstream media. They jump at a tweet, a misspelling in a tweet, it becomes front page news, and you tend to lose perspective. And I think your talent is really bringing perspective back to the news and effectively becoming an effective lens or filter on what the mainstream media is doing. And your numbers show it. 130,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, it's partially it's because like they make record profits rambling about Trump, it just opens up the floodgates for other people to just talk about how dumb the media is. And because it's so obvious, it's self-evident, people can grow quite a bit just talking about that one thing. All they realize is that they get manipulated by Trump because he knows that if he does something that's purposely dumb like covfefe, I'm sure that you'll let your listeners know about that.
Yeah.
I imagine that a lot of people have already seen this since it's everywhere right now. All he has to do is misspell one word and everybody takes off with the story. So it just works for him. If there's something else in the news he doesn't want them to report on, he just does something, some stupid antic that's not actually stupid. It's actually a genius move and they gobble it right down.
Hey, so what about his administration? Is he really in turmoil? I mean, he's got these people that are definitely leaking like sieves all over the place. Time to prosecute them, purge them out of the administration. Is it possible? Can he right this ship?
Well, I don't think that his ship is in danger anyway. It's like I've pointed out with the polling. People keep fixating in the corporate media on the last Quinnipiac poll. Oh, Trump has 38% approval. He might as well resign. It's terrible. And it's not really, it's even that number, which I don't really trust necessarily, isn't that much lower than like Obama at his lows. It's not exactly danger zone. That would be like sub 30 is when you're getting really down there. And then you have other polling firms showing him, you know, with 50% approval. Who am I supposed to trust? Because a lot of those polling firms were habitually wrong during the election. But his ship of state, I think, is going fine. The big problem that I think I see is that he gets stonewalled from within his own party on some of his signature issues like tax reform, like the wall. But the people need to understand the Democrats are going to oppose him anyway for partisan reasons, because they're, you know, the other party. But he's getting stonewalled primarily now by Republicans, because remember, they control the House and Senate. So if they're in line with Trump on an issue, they can get anything passed that they want. They don't have to listen to the Democrats. They don't have to bargain with the Democrats. They don't have to give the time of day to the Democrats. They can relegate them to the back seats and completely ignore them, invoke the nuclear option in the Senate for a simple majority passing anything they happen to want. They're capable of doing that. But the McCains and the Grahams and so forth, Lindsey Graham, not quite as much. Occasionally, he speaks out in defense of Trump, in all honesty. McCain has so far never done that. He's looking more and more like a Clinton fan. He probably voted for Hillary Clinton.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, well, he probably either that or yeah, I don't know. He voted for Gary Johnson or something.
Well, he said Obama was an honorable man. After yeah. that, I never listened to another word that he said.
It's just a stellar collection of people who really represent true Americana. But Trump's getting stopped by members of his own party or by the judiciary body on a lot of these things. A lot of his fans crucified him. When the, for instance, the temporary ban on refugees from certain areas was issued and then it was stopped by a court. The court doesn't technically have full constitutional authority in that situation to issue a permanent injunction on such an executive action. But once they've issued it, there's no way the executive branch can really stop that from being in effect, which it's one of these weird legal paradoxes until it gets to the Supreme Court where it's headed now. Now, I warned against that. I thought it was a bad idea to keep poking the bear and try to take it to the Supreme Court, because regardless of the decision they make, they're potentially either handing inordinate power to the lower judiciary, or they're handing inordinate power to the executive branch. They're going to have to be really restrained. It's going to take them a long time to figure out how to weigh in on this, I think, without doing irreparable damage to our republic. But Trump's not the one. He didn't suddenly give up on the border wall. He can't get it funded. He didn't give up on a temporary refugee ban. He was stopped by the judiciary. It's honestly totally not his fault. And so I think the big concern for him is that he has to counterbalance things where he has to attack the people that are standing in the way of programs that his core fans want. Otherwise, his core fans get really angry at him, see him as ineffective or a sellout. But if he attacks them too hard, he gets cast off as an unhinged bully. Now, he does anyway, but he would give extra ammunition, I think, to people who already dislike him, including a lot of the Never Trumpers. Okay. They'll jump down his throat and say, oh, imperial president, unconstitutional. We need to get rid of him for, you know, treason or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's so many out of the park wackos weighing in on all this stuff. I mean, there are people who, A, they believed that the Electoral College, that they were going to be able to flip electoral votes, right? They believe.
And then Hillary Clinton, I think, lost.
Yeah, she lost four. She lost four.
Well, wasn't it five? I think she lost five, but right. Trump lost one.
Or two. It was meaningless, and it's a bad precedent.
Her, actually, in the end. Yeah. Faithless electors.
Right. So they thought that was going to happen. Then they thought that he wouldn't be sworn in. And then, you know, they just keep coming up with these memes that are just irrational beyond the pale. I mean,
yeah, to the point, even the more unhinged segments of the corporate media that totally agree with the Clinton bottom line, Salon yesterday with its article, perfect example. No, there will be no midterm blue wave, and don't hold your breath on Trump being impeached. They know the reality, but they spent so long trying to hype people up. But I think what they were hoping was to collapse his support so much that he resigned. I think they hoped that they could force him to resignation or force Congress to get rid of him on pardon the pun, trumped up charges or something like that. Yeah. When that failed, they then had to come out and tell their fans, oh, be a little more cautious. Don't get too big headed. He probably won't be impeached. They're going to have to use the excuse now. But after the DNC started lying about Russia hacking them, which is almost certainly a total lie anyway, they now have to patch that wound in order to regain credibility and say, oh, no, don't expect him to get impeached because, he'll skirt justice. Now, they won't admit that there's actually no evidence. They talk about Comey today.
Yeah.
People in the intel community are attacking Comey. They're talking about this apparently fake, like a memo or dossier or something like that.
The urine, the pissgate that was.
Yeah. Yeah. They're attacking garbage. Him for it. They're like, oh, he used fake documents that he probably knew were fake to skirt the DOJ and keep an investigation going or not investigate it. It's so confusing. And these are the same people that said, oh, shame on Trump for firing Comey. If this had come out before he fired Comey, you'd better believe that any official would have fired him. To elude the DOJ by fronting a fake document that the FBI knew was fake, that is certainly something to fire the head of the FBI for. Now, they all jumped down Trump's. Yeah. What if Trump knew of that? before the rest of these intel heads got it straight from James Comey. Maybe that's why he fired him. Maybe that's why Comey shut the fuck up.
Hey, there's so many things here. So we also, we had a situation where everybody said, oh, the way he fired Comey was horrible. Comey was in Los Angeles and he saw it on the TV. Hey, you think that was accidental? What they did then was Jeff Sessions went to his office, took control of all of his computers, all of his files, all this stuff. This was a really well thought out termination with extreme prejudice. The humiliation aspect is just payback, but not just payback. It's making an example of this guy. And
yeah, I think they wanted to requisition everything and do it when he was unawares so that they could gain access to that stuff because they knew they'd pull a Clinton and start deleting things if they didn't.
You got it.
Get a few of his agents. Oh, I'm going to be fired next week. I better get a few really loyal agents in here to start sort of cleanse everything.
Bleach bit that hard drive. So that was no accident and not unprofessional management. That was
the
opposite.
It's like when people talk about the turmoil in our government, I don't see Trump as being in turmoil. What I see is the intel community is having a nervous breakdown. Apparently, they don't even know what Comey is up to at any given time. The Democrats don't have a platform or a leader. I mean, they have a DNC head, but is Tom Perez really leading anything? I'm not so. You look at the Montana election there, where they get beaten by a guy who just, 24 hours before got done body slamming someone, supposedly. They don't have a platform. They're the ones having a mental breakdown. They're seeking to project that off on Trump while stonewalling him as much as they can to make it look like he's ineffective because they hope to alienate his fan base. I see Trump as, he's already taken up a hard line on North Korea, probably the only place we should. He's backed off the Middle East to some degree. There are strikes ongoing, but now it's more visible when Russia is striking an ISIS target than any involvement we have. He took a very measured response on Venezuela, as opposed even to Obama. No fake, outrage and condemnation over some foreign state where, let's face it, the government doesn't care if people live or die for the most part, just says, this is regrettable. And, we urge the OAS partners to deal with the problem. Brazil and Colombia need to get involved. That's not an unhinged individual. An unhinged individual would react with extreme violence and vice at any given moment. Trump really hasn't done that. It's everyone around him that's having a meltdown over his different leadership style, I think.
Hey, McCain probably is having a meltdown because he wants to bomb everything. And sometimes, look, we could have gone into Venezuela 15 years ago and deposed Hugo Chavez. I think this is the best thing, best foreign policy we ever did in the United States, letting them have their socialism, letting the world see exactly where socialism ends. And socialism ends when you don't have toilet paper in the supermarkets and you're eating dogs. That's the way it always winds up.
They can't eat the dogs anymore. They're just skin and bones. They have to eat like roots and bark, I guess.
Or rats. They're probably eating rats.
I mean, I feel sorry for the people down there, but what are we supposed to do from the United States? If we march in, we're going to be seen as a hostile, conquesting
force.
We're going to get attacked by even the opposition if we get involved. But Brazil, which is more left-leaning, in Colombia, they could get involved. They're more local. They're not seen as the great Satan. It would probably not inflame things. There have been calls now by the UN for international involvement. I say big mistake.
Yeah.
I think what that will do is it will appease people and Maduro will continue to cling to power. If starvation isn't going to cause him to be impaled on a pike, then if you start alleviating that starvation, stress goes down. We need more stress, not less, on Venezuela.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
sad as though that may sound, the UN's involvement will allow Maduro to continue committing crimes against humanity because there's no foreign force that can depose him directly.
The only force that can depose him directly is the U.S. That's it. There is nobody else. And why do we want to do this? To me, the lesson, it goes back from the pilgrims to Venezuela and North Korea. Look, if North Korea wasn't a socialist state, communist state, same difference, they wouldn't be doing all this stuff now. They wouldn't be spending 20 something percent of their GDP, as pathetic as it is, on nuclear weapons. So it's just another lesson that, the hard left in the U.S., doesn't blame socialism for Venezuela's problems. They don't blame socialism for North Korea's problems. It's just the wrong people are running things. That's always their explanation.
I think even worse than the real left in the United States, arguably, though, is the fake right. People who think that reducing the tax rate by 2% is fiscal conservatism, I don't call them fiscal conservatives. I call them socialism light.
Yeah.
Fiscally, the never Trump style Republicans, not the Rands or the Amashes, they're more paleocon, I guess. But most of the so-called conservatives are really just moral evangelicals who think, oh, yeah, well, we want to lower taxes just a little bit. We'll still have the highest business tax rate in the world. People will still pay, 35-40% of their income on stupid shit that we don't need. But it's fiscal conservatism. It works. Yeah. It doesn't work. It's just this false consensus like, well, we've been doing this for the last three decades. So it must be perfect and maximized efficiency because everyone knows how great government is at making things efficient. We're slipping into more socialism. It's like Trump is a microcosm of the solution of the problem. He so far hasn't addressed taxes, and I hope he does. I hope he does slash trillions in spending. I don't care what he cuts as long as he cuts an enormous amount of it, rolls up these bureaus together. That's really what we need. We can address the deficit, lower the tax rate. The private marketplace can take care of it. It'll be a little bit of pain short term, long term, a lot less pain than you see with socialism. When you get into full socialism, when you enforce austerity or something, it's a lot of pain. We can do it with relatively little pain and then outcompete everyone else in the world if we want to.
Yeah.
But Trump on guns is a microcosm of the solution. Like all the Republicans for years, they said, oh, we're very pro-gun. We love the Second Amendment. Look, the NRA keeps endorsing our candidates. He's got an A+ and he's got a B+ or B- on guns. And the Democrats have like Fs, Ds and stuff. But they never suggested removing old existing gun control that was already unconstitutional and already pointless and just created more violent crime. Trump's the only one, the only recent Republican who actually wants to repeal some of the existing stuff. The Republicans weren't pro-gun. They were just anti-new, anti-gun laws. Yeah. And I hope that he ends up being the same on taxation. I hope he can get the tax rate down to an extreme. We should go back to the actual tax rate we had in the 60s. About 25% should be the top tax rate.
Let's go back to the pre-World War I tax rate. Only the rich pay income tax, and that was how it was sold to the American public. Oh, don't worry, middle class, you'll never have to pay. Only the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers, they're the only ones that'll pay. You won't pay anything.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, go tax the rich. We're all for it, and look where we are now. Hey, but
I just think we need to restrain spending more. Like, we can't abandon the grand chessboard without getting nuked and displaced. Yeah. So unfortunately, we're stuck having the purest libertarians are crazy. They want World War III, apparently. But we can make do with a lot less taxation than we've got now. It's not necessary to have so much. In fact, long term, I think we'll crush our own economy. If we keep taxing everybody up the butt, we'll grind down the private economy. We'll no longer have enough revenue to pay for all of those weapons that we do need.
The power to tax is the power to destroy, as Judge Learned Hand said over 100 years ago, and it's been proven out time and again. So is he going to get his agenda through? Tax cuts to some extent, as far as, immigration and other issues? Is he going to be able to cut back the EPA to reasonable levels? What's going to happen here, Toral?
I hope so. They're now suspecting he's probably going to take us out of the Paris Climate Accords, which I support.
Yeah.
Because why don't we just spend those billions of dollars building green energy here and not build them in other countries? What economic benefit does that give to us? If it's going to get built anyway, it's going to defer the same amount of fossil fuel usage. Well, keep it here. It helps our economy. It's a no-brainer. We can still invest 10 times as much as the Paris Climate Accord wants us to, and it'll benefit us. It'll be great, as opposed to sending it off to, Cambodia or Uganda or something. No offense to them, but you take care of your own energy needs. We've got our own energy needs that we have to desperately take care of. We're already taxed enough as is and more than enough.
Hey,
as far as immigration, It really, it almost doesn't matter, because when the Supreme Court does weigh in on his temporary visa suspension for like refugees and immigrants from certain areas, if they don't tread very cautiously, then regardless of which way they decide, it's going to damage our republic. Either the judiciary or the executive branch will gain inordinate power and become truly dominant. The system of checks and balances, the division of powers that we currently enjoy, more or less, will be further denigrated. It's probably the most unsafe decision the Supreme Court will have to make over the last 100 years. I don't even think people realize the significance. They almost never talk about how bad this could be. They need to be very, very constrained. He'll probably get his wall, but he's going to have to bend over backwards to appease a bunch of never Trumpers to get it. And then if he doesn't win re-election, of course, it'll only be half built by then. So he needs to win re-election to ensure it's fully built. Has to cut other things in order to pay for it, which is fine. Again, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't have cut the Coast Guard. He's planning to cut, I think it was some from the EPA, some from, I can't remember the other agency, some random alphabet soup agency, and then the Coast Guard. I think I would have retained the Coast Guard considering their own importance in border security.
Absolutely.
As far as our maritime borders go.
Yeah. Well, there's a battleground that I'm predicting. I've heard nobody mention it. So there used to be this thing up until Nixon called Presidential Impoundment Authority. And that was like, hey, you guys allocated $10 billion for, you know, the Congress for whatever, for Tesla subsidies so that every person in the hood can now have a Tesla. And, you know, it used to be that the president said, wait a second, that's unconstitutional. You don't have the authority to do it. I'm impounding the money so you can't spend it. And then there was a case in 1973, which name eludes me right now, something with New York State, where Nixon impounded the funds. Congress passed a law, the Anti-Impoundment Act. And basically, the case went to court. Supreme Court ruled that if Congress spends it, oh, this was on the Clean Water Act, that if Congress allocates the money, president has to spend it. Now, this is like ridiculous, because it's like if the board of directors of a company tells the president, you know, you have to donate our entire year's profits to Greenpeace, you know, the executive can say, you guys are nuts. I'm not doing it. We'll wait till the next board of directors election. And, you know, as the executive, he's got to have some flexibility whether to spend money or not. I believe Trump is going to test that, because I think it's unconstitutional. We're going to have what the Democrats will bill and the establishment will bill as a constitutional crisis. But this will happen after he gets his second Supreme Court appointee in, and it's going to be upheld. And it's kind of like the line item veto, but not having to veto it, just not spend it. This is going to be a battlefront in politics, in presidential politics, and he's going to win it. And it's going to reshape priorities and everything else, because Obama was spending money that Congress never allocated, and he did whatever the heck he wanted. Nobody ever called him on it. But now, Trump, it's a new era. We care about the Constitution again.
I'm not too happy with the fact that he wants to up the military budget without addressing defense contractors, though. You know, the $90 bag of screws, the $800 toilet seat sort of stuff.
The hammer.
People who are saying, oh, no, the president, he should shrink the military budget. Oh, he's going to go to war. You don't need to shrink the military's budget. If you eliminate those, you could probably increase the military's capabilities by 50% for the same cost, and then just freeze spending for the next 20 or 30 years, and we'd be golden.
And the generals.
We'd probably end up winning the grand chessboard game just from that, but nobody has the balls, I guess, to address the situation. They keep, it's like these military meals, which are, you know, given to them by contractors.
Yeah.
I make videos eating MREs. You wouldn't believe how much they cost for a single meal. And like, you know, $10-$15 probably.
Right, more than Blue Apron.
In cost to the nation. That, I mean, you can sell them online and stuff. They're still expensive. You wouldn't believe it. They're made by contractors, by firms that have basically no bid contracts. It's why they're expensive.
Yeah. Hey, well, the generals, supposedly all the generals, which is the management of the military, are all on the take. That's the rumor. I have no idea if it's true or not. But you did see Trump slam Lockheed and slam Boeing. And I think that is going to become the regular course of business He's going to go back and say, everybody has to tithe 10% off your contract, and I don't want to see change orders. It's not the contract itself, which is often a loss leader. It's after they have the contract, and the bureaucrat says, well, that handle should turn from the left instead of the right, and then they have to redesign half the helicopter so that the handle will turn the way that he wants it. And I think that's where the real reform is going to come. But all this is speculative at this point. The guy's been in office for 4 months.
We should go back to the old way of doing it, where a bunch of factories sort of compete to produce as many of the ordered products as possible.
Sort of, yeah.
And then get judged based on quality, and then given contracts, they can show they can actually get it accomplished first.
Yeah.
Rather than just some senator saying, oh, I got $1 million during my campaign from Raytheon. I think I'm going to lobby to make sure they get this contract.
Yeah,
for $10 billion or something.
And then they spread Congress is responsible for this. It becomes subsidy hopscotch. And everybody gets a contract, whether it's efficient to build the weapon system there or not, or whether the weapon system is obsolete and should be phased out and dumped. They don't care.
Yeah, another reason why the Republicans are fiscal conservatives. They love welfare. It's just they want to give it to some business in hopes that 10 people get employed. Usually that won't even happen.
Yeah, this is worse than regular welfare. Corporate welfare is far greater wastefulness. Like, none of the money really gets properly spent. At least with food stamps, you know, maybe 60% of those people should be on food stamps, maybe 50, but that's better than what happens with defense
dollars. And when
they're
buying food, then it's benefiting some business potentially and increasing their bottom line, and then maybe they can hire somebody.
You got it. So to sum up, Trump is not going to be impeached.
I don't think so, no.
Highly unlikely. The left is headed for a crack-up boom. Because, you know, they just have not come to terms with the fact that they lost, and they're going to continue losing because, you know, the dog isn't eating the food, as they say in the ad business. The dog
won't midterms, eat. We're going to have a discussion when the midterms get closer.
Yeah.
Because judging from the number of Democratic seats that are up as opposed to Republican seats, I didn't even look this up. I just sort of gave my general analysis. Somebody else showed me the Wikipedia article saying, it's like 3-1 Democrats that are up for re-election.
8-23. Both of the socialists.
It might be a massacre.
Hey, I believe that the greatest campaign technique coming up in the midterms is going to be the body slam. it will ensure that finally the Republicans can say, we've got a set of balls and we're not afraid to take them on. I mean, look what happened the other day in Texas, where the guy called the ICE on the illegal alien demonstrators, and the guy in the Texas House, I guess it was, threatened him.
Threatened to shoot him,
And he said, you come after me at my car, I'm going to put a bullet through your head in self-defense. I mean, this is what we've been reduced to. So body slamming could be the new sport in the congressional midterms.
Oh, so, maybe they'll start beating each other with fireplace tongs like they did back in the 1700s.
Anything is possible. I mean, we're devolving. Anyway, Tarl, just tell us again, where do we find you on YouTube?
Styx Hexenhammer 666, STYX HEXEN Hammer.
All right. And we will have a link in the show notes to this interview. Questions, comments for Tarl or myself, please send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. And, you know, if you're a troll, send 10. I don't really care. I mean, I will call you out when you start lying, though. That's for sure. But I can't deal with every troll that comes along. Hey, the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And the Twitter feed, you can always tweet us at Kerry Lutz. Tarl, it's always great talking to you. And keep up the incredible job you're doing.
Oh, thank you. And it was a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.